Good evening, everybody. We're going to start with our young men leading in devotion. And just for future reference, as far as how this is going to work, we're going to, with our young girls having the young ladies devotional back in the 49ers classroom, both practice and participation, our young men are doing that exact same thing on that same night, this night, every month. And so we have a lot of young men who are going to lead, and we're going to do this once a month. And we're going to make a special effort to practice and prepare to work at home so we can do a better and better job. But we have a good problem of a lot of young men who are looking to lead. So join in tonight, and then we'll do this again in another month as the young men practice, prepare, and they present what they've worked on. So welcome back, CYC folks. Fantastic. Just saw Angie through the way. That's awesome. So our young men are going to lead. We'll start with Mac.
I will be reading Psalm chapter 119, verses 1 and 2. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart.
Will you please bow with me? Dear Lord, thank you for this day and just thank you for doing everything that you've done for us. Please help the sick, the poor, and the homeless. Thank you most of all for sending your only son to die on the cross for all of our sins to be laid on him so that one day we can go to heaven with you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Today we'll be singing, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so.
We will be singing Faithful Love.
Faithful love flowing down from the thorn-covered crown makes me whole, saves my soul, washes whiter than snow. Faithful love calms each fear, reaches down, dries each tear, holds my hand when I can't stand on my own.
We'll be singing, Jesus called them one by one. Jesus called them one by one. Peter, Andrew, James, and John. H came Philip, Thomas too. Matthew and Martha on you. James the one they called the West. Simon asked that he is the 12th apostle, Judas. Jesus was by.
Jesus loves me, this I know,
for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak,
but he is strong.
Yes, Jesus loves me.
So.
All right, after Evan, we're going to have our announcements.
Be singing 895, I'll Live in Glory. 895. I'd like to stay here longer than man's allotted days and watch the fleeting changes of life's uneven ways. But if my Savior calls me to that sweet home on high, I'll live with him forever in glory by and by. Oh, yes, I'll live in glory by and by. I'll tell him, sing the story there on high, there with my dear Redeemer, no more to die. Oh, yes, I'll live in glory by.
Good afternoon. I'd like to take this opportunity to welcome everyone, especially any of you who may be visiting with us. See that the CYC crew is starting to trickle in, and we're glad to see them. If you are visiting or you have any needs that we could help you with, if you would, please fill out one of these white cards. Those are located in the pew in front of you, and those will be collected at the end of our service. Regarding our sick, Rayford Bubba Tyser, this is the dad of Lori Cundre, is in the CCU at North Alabama Medical Center. Jace Gregory, the infant son of David and Meveline Hinton, is at Children's Hospital in Birmingham. Please remember our marriage enrichment seminar. You can sign up via Facebook, or there's a sign-up sheet in the foyer. You're encouraged to do that. And please remember the elder search that's taking place. You're requested to submit the names of the qualified men you would like to recommend to the elders by next Sunday. That's all the announcements I have. This time we'll begin.
As we begin this evening, we're going to worship this evening. We'll look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. But God's firm foundation stands, bearing this seal: the Lord knows those who are his. And let everyone who names the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. Let's stand as we begin our worship this evening.
Jesus, you're my firm foundation. I know I can stand.
Be seated. Next song will be Lamb of God.
Your only Son, no sin to hide, but you have sent him from your side to walk.
Opening prayer this evening, we'll sing number 20, We Worship and Adore You.
We worship and adore you, bowing down before you, songs of praise singing,
Let's go to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, we love you, Lord, and we thank you for all of the spiritual and material blessings that you so graciously bestow upon us, Lord. Lord, we certainly know we're not deserving of such blessings. And Lord, we ask that you always instill in us a heart of obedience and a heart of service and a heart that looks to help people in every way that we can and bring more souls to you and bring glory to you, Lord. We also know that we sin often, and we're thankful for the blood of Jesus that continually cleanses us and gives us the opportunity for eternal life. Lord, we also pray for the church here at Florence Boulevard and all the great work that is going on here, Lord. We know you will continue to bless it, Lord, and we take a lot of comfort in that, Lord, all we have to do is let you lead and let your will be done. Of course, we pray for the families here, that we will raise our children in the right way, Lord, and we pray for those who, you know, may not have families yet that have perhaps extra time, Lord, that they will be mindful and serve, Lord, and we're also thankful for those who are perhaps at retirement age who have time as well. So many great people do so many great things here, Lord, and we pray that you'll continue to just bless this work, Lord. And Lord, please bless this service. We want to worship you in a way that's pleasing to you. And once again, we thank you so much for Jesus and for the forgiveness of sins that he provides. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.
Is it for me, dear Savior, thy glory and thy rest? For me so weak and sinful, oh, shall I be so blessed? Oh, Savior, my Redeemer, what can I but adore and magnify and praise thee and love thee evermore? I'll be with thee forever and never grieve thee more. Dear Savior, I must praise thee and love thee evermore. Oh, Savior, my Redeemer, what can I but adore and magnify and praise thee and love thee evermore?
For Austin brings us a message this evening. We'll sing number 608, He Gave Me a Song. If you'd like, let's stand as we sing this song and remain standing for our reading.
He took my burdens all away up to a brighter day. He gave me a song, a wonderful song, a wonderful song I now can sing in my heart joy bells ring. He gave me a song, a wonderful song. He gave me a song,
a song to sing
about.
He lifted me,
praise his name. He
tonight's reading will be from James chapter 2, verse 26. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. You may be seated.
Hello, church. Grateful. You made a choice and are a part of this assembly for worship.
I count it a blessing to redeem the time with God's people. And in the New Testament and other translations, it says just make the best use of time. We're all given the same amount. It's just what we do with it that matters. Thank you for your choice. Hey, glad our CYC group is back. Praise God for that trip, for that safety, for that spiritual retreat. And we hope it was an ascent for you and for your faith, not just for your faith, but maybe also for relationships. We know relationships are huge within the Lord's body. Somebody was asking me recently, what are you going to preach on? And before I could get an answer out, they said, probably something in Joshua, huh? Yes. That's right. I love it. I hope you do too. Not because of how it's preached, look past that, but because of what it is. The Word of God being revealed, and now hopefully tonight being received into open and honest hearts. Let's pray about it, and then we'll jump into the text. Father God, we praise you. And Lord, we lift your name on high. We love to sing your praises, and your praises have been great. But I hope and pray it's not just with loud voices in unison, but filled hearts overflowing in love. And may the words of our lips in praise and song, may the words of our prayers as they are lifted up, and now our focused attention in unison to your word, all be a sweet-smelling aroma to you. What an opportunity and a gift to be with your people. Father, we pray we take advantage of this and we allow you to move us in it and just simply to reflect on your greatness motivates us to be better men and women of faith. And so thank you for the effects of worship, but help us to not lose focus of the purpose. And our audience is not those sitting in the pew, but you, Father, as our audience of one. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Joshua chapter 5. It is also the case, sadly, that I have heard in times past, when people grow tired of the preacher, they open their Bible and just read. I hope you're opening your Bible to read the Word of God. And if you don't look at me, that's okay, because I want you to be in the text. I didn't mean that to be funny. That's just the reality of some situations. But I want to focus in on the Word tonight. Because chapter 5 is right after chapter 4. And it also precedes chapter 6. So in chapter 4, as we said this morning, memorials were set up to remember where they've been, where they came through, and where they are. On the other side of the Jordan, the promised side of the Jordan. And they called this city a certain name, and that's a special name, a name that I talked about in Pew Packers tonight, and I'm going to tell you what that name is pretty soon. And it's also right before chapter 6. Chapter 6, when a great nation of people are going to see and experience the great work of our powerful and our almighty God. But if chapter 6 is the first time you think that people see and experience the power of almighty God, then you are mistaken. Because what comes after 4 and before 6 is chapter 5. Look in chapter 5, verses 1 and following. As soon as all the kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan to the west, and all the kings of the Canaanites who were by the sea heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of the Jordan for the people of Israel until they had crossed over. Look what happened to their hearts. Their hearts melted.
And there was no longer any spirit in them because of the people of Israel. Is it good to fear God? Yes. But will fear alone create faith within a person? No. Does fear alone make someone acceptable to God? No. For even the demons fear Him. Otherwise they say, "What? Don't cast us out! Don't cast us out, O Lord!" Even the Bible says even the demons believe and shudder. Demons fear God. But if fear stays alone, it doesn't progress into faith, nor does it make someone a follower of Jesus. The kings of these places feared because they saw power, but their fear did nothing to them. They remained. And if we allow our life to simply be one of fear and remain in it, we cannot be obedient to God. But fear, biblical fear, is not, "Oh no, I'm just afraid and I pull my covers up over my nose just so I can see right over top at night because I'm afraid of the dark." Biblical fear is not, "It's Halloween time and I'm afraid people are going to jump out and scare me." Biblical fear is an awe, a great awe, A-W-E, great awe of Almighty God. Biblical fear is one that does not cause you to stand still, but to be moved into faith. I see who He is. Let me follow after Him. These kings, those of the Canaanites who were by the sea and of the west, while they feared God and their hearts melted and there was no longer any spirit in them because of the people of Israel and the God who empowered them, their fear was worthless because it caused them to do nothing to follow after Him. And so I carry on in verse 2 and following. "And at that time the Lord said to Joshua, 'Make flint knives and circumcise the sons of Israel a second time.' So Joshua made flint knives and circumcised the sons of Israel at Gibeath Haraloth." And this is why Joshua circumcised them. And you can look at the answer here in verse 4. "Because all the males of the people who came out of Egypt, all the men of war, had died in the wilderness on the way after they came out of Egypt. Though all the people who came out had been circumcised, yet all the people who were born on the way in the wilderness, that next generation, well, when they had come up out of Egypt, they had not been circumcised." Verse 6, "For the people of Israel walked for 40 years in the wilderness until all the nation, the men of war who came out of Egypt, till they had perished." Why? "Because they did not obey the voice of the Lord." Remember the kings in verse 1 who feared but didn't follow through with obedience? They're known as faithless. And the people of Israel who walked out of town, crossed through the sea into the wilderness for decades. Well, I'm sure they feared. Their reputation here, at least in this part of Scripture, what does the Bible say about them? They did not obey. Obedience is massive with our God. Hold on to that word, because I'm going to come back to it. They did not obey the voice of the Lord. The Lord swore to them that He would not let them see the land that the Lord had sworn to their fathers to give us, a land flowing with milk and honey. So was their children, whom He raised up in their place, that Joshua circumcised, for they were uncircumcised, because they had not been circumcised on the way. So He went and circumcised the entire nation, verse 8, "and they remained and they camped in their places until they had time to heal. And the Lord said to Joshua, 'Today I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you.'" And so the name of the place, kids and pew packers, if you want to know, we were singing Roll the Gospel Chariot. And I said, there's a city, there's a place, there's a name in the Scriptures that means something's going to be rolled away. And it's very important. It's also another name you can call a girl. Well, the name of the city is called Gilgal. We found out about Gilgal in chapter 4. Gilgal is the city in which They crossed the Jordan, they set up the memorial stones, and they called this place Gilgal, for the Lord rolled away reproach. Because when the memorial was set up, they're in the promised land. The bad part was behind them. He's rolled all that away, and now you're here, chosen, in this chosen place, Gilgal. What a city of significance. I made a list. If you were to list out the names of major cities in the Bible, don't say it out loud, but what are some names? Jerusalem is no doubt one of them. And the list would continue on and on. You would say different places. You'd probably get into the New Testament and you'd say a lot of our letters. You'd say Ephesus. You'd say Antioch. Man, what a place Antioch was in the New Testament. You would talk about maybe Philippi, Thessalonica. You would talk about many cities. Would Gilgal make your list? Probably not. It wouldn't have made mine. Well, number one, the memorial stones, the first place in which the people of Israel encamped when they crossed into the promised land was the city of Gilgal. Gilgal was the first city claimed by Israel. Gilgal, as a matter of fact, was the place in which they anointed their first king, 1 Samuel chapter 11, Gilgal. Did you know that? I didn't. David was welcomed back in Gilgal after Absalom rebelled against him, and that rebellion was squelched, and they brought David back and kind of restored him in 2 Samuel chapter 19. Gilgal was so important that Samuel, when he was a wandering prophet, priest, and minister to the people, he did this circuit preaching. Does anybody remember preachers of old who went around doing circuit preaching? I don't remember what that was like. That wasn't in my time. But I've heard about this circuit preaching idea. Our preachers would come for a little while, preach with their sermons, and then they'd move on to another place. Move on to another place. They did this circuit deal. And they would hit up cities maybe once or twice every couple of years. It was a circuit kind of ministry. Samuel, as that last leading prophet and priest, he was a circuit minister, so to speak. Well, guess what one of the cities he found worthy of coming to was? Gilgal. There were schools of prophets, most likely, in 2 Kings 2 and 2 Kings 4, while Elijah and Elisha were living as prophets. Guess where the school of prophecy probably was? What city? Gilgal. Joshua even set up his city center of operations, Joshua 9:6, 10:6, 10:15, 10:43, and also Joshua 14:6. Guess what city it was in? Gilgal. What did it stand for? How the Lord rolled away reproach. Isn't that type of a city important? When Joshua went off to other places, I bet he had thoughts of Gilgal. After David was restored, yet went other places, what if he thought back to Gilgal? When Samuel was ministering and he was having a hard day, maybe encountering rough people, maybe there was a memory in the city of Gilgal. Isn't it special to have a city or a place or a people or maybe even a congregation like a Gilgal? One that is formative in your years of Christianity and faith. I'm looking around at our room. I see people literally 2.5 weeks old to the other end of the spectrum. To the other end of the spectrum. If you've spent years a part of the Florence Boulevard Church, maybe other congregations, don't you have fond memories of that place? Maybe of this place? When I first was given the privilege to meet people and to hear stories of times past, our conversations ended up like this. Hey, do you know so-and-so? Well, so-and-so's father or so-and-so's grandmother, well, they were part of this congregation. And let me tell you what they did. Let me tell you how they impacted me in this place. And oh, it was so great because we had a group of children and we did this and that location. It's just right up there, right over there. You remember how he said that and he taught that and he would get a group of people together to do that. And boy, wasn't that so meaningful? Seasoned friends, isn't it powerful to be able to anchor yourself into a metaphorical Gilgal of sorts? You draw back on that, don't you? You look back on it longingly, lovingly. Younger people, don't you want that? I know you do. My wish is that everybody would make our congregation that. That we have this intergenerational mix of people who are creating a spiritual city of sorts, a congregation where older folks are pouring into younger folks like Titus 2 commands. We are making time to spend time with our younger folks to teach them how to do things better, to be more mature, to be more wise, faithful. Older men teaching younger men how to lead. Older women teaching younger women how to be better wives and mothers, caretakers, teachers, people of influence. Read Titus chapter 2. You'll see how it works. When you have that intergenerational connection, what you have is a commitment from one people to another people to form one people. And so our spiritual city, our congregation, can be that type of a Gilgal. You see, it takes all of us together to create a memorial type of environment, a spiritual city of a congregation, one that clearly glorifies God. It speaks of what He's done, and it also anticipates great things that are going to happen. And I think our congregation can be that spiritual city. Older folks not just looking to the past, but creating moments in the future. Younger folks deciding, I'm going to root myself and anchor here for the growth and the maturity of myself, my family, and my spiritual family within this congregation. And when we anchor together, I think we'll be able to look back one day and say, wow, do you remember that? Did you experience that? Do you remember what he said, how she did this or that? Gilgal. A city of little recognition, seemingly having such great importance. And so that was the city, Pew Packers kids, means roll away, the city of Gilgal. Now look at verse 10 to 12. While the people of Israel were encamped at Gilgal, they kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month in the evening on the plains of Jericho. And the day after the Passover, on that very day, they ate of the produce of the land, unleavened cakes and parched grains. Now, why is that important? Because verse 12, and the manna ceased the day after they ate of the produce of the land, and there was no longer manna for the people of Israel, but they ate of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. All the while wandering in the wilderness those 40 years, who provided their food, church? God. Manna from above. Kyle Butt would talk about what manna truly was. Sometimes you might think this dry rye bread, you know, you go to a restaurant and they pull out that hard, crunchy, tasteless black bread. You're like, come on. Has anybody baked before? Some people may love that bread. I don't. Manna, however, Kyle Butt would say, is not that bread. It's not even Sister Schubert. She does well. He called it a warm, sweet, almost like a honey-soaked Krispy Kreme donut. Manna. Now that sounds good, church. And I got tired of it. But the Lord provided it day after day for the people. They were never without. They always had their fill, and they still grew tired. What does it mean? Sometimes God showers blessings, and we just get callous to it, careless with it. Let's not be calloused towards or careless with God's blessings. But now the manna was gone. And to us, they simply received the fruit of the land, which may not be a big deal, but when you're wandering for decades with the thought of a land flowing with milk and honey, and they finally got to eat of the produce of the land, it's almost like this. What is heaven going to be like? Roads of gold? I don't know. That's a physical thing that God created. Maybe not. Mansions over a hilltop? That's a physical manifestation of a spiritual place. Will it be that or not? I don't know. Pearls and jewels. The apostles sitting on these different places scattered in the kingdom of heaven. It's a physical example of what a spiritual existence will be like. I don't know. But boy, I can't wait to taste it. And I bet they were the same way. I don't know what a land flowing with milk and honey is going to be like. The milk's going to run fast and the honey's going to droop slow. But boy, I cannot wait to taste it. You see, the thought of the future taste of glory motivates people while wandering in the wilderness. And that's how it ought to be for us, church. That the thought of the taste of future glory will pull us through our wilderness wanderings. You see, it wasn't just Israel that wanders in the wilderness, but each one of us encamped in a tent, in a pilgrimage, on our way to that eternal glory. They ate of Passover and then received the fruit of the land. And so then we come to the commander of the Lord's army. Who was he? Was he an angel? Or was he a manifestation of God? Let's find out. When Joshua was by Jericho, verse 13, he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man was standing before him with his drawn sword in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, "Are you for us or for our adversaries?" And he said, "No, but I am the commander of the army of the Lord. Now I have come." And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshipped and said to him, "What does my Lord say to his servant?" And the commander of the Lord's army said, "Joshua, take off your sandals from your feet, for the place where you are standing is holy." And Moses did so. Oh, wait, that's not Moses, is it? Sounds a lot like another situation we read in Scripture, doesn't it? The host of Jehovah is what the language speaks. When he looked up into heaven, whether he was sitting, thinking, meditating, praying, he gazed up and saw the host of heaven, a messenger man with drawn sword in hand. This is very synonymous with a phrase like "the host of heaven" from 1 Kings 22:19. It might, some believe, signify angels, like in Psalm 148 and 103. I tend not to believe so. Because the Lord's host, as he spoke with authority as of God. Not only did he speak with authority as of God, he also received worship and praise as if he is God. And as I was educated, thankfully, angels do not receive worship, only the Lord our God. And so really there are two opinions out there, but only one we need to keep. Two have been held by the church concerning this manifestation. The first one, that it was the Son of God in visible form. The second one, that this was a created being or an angel through whom Jehovah was pleased to manifest himself. When I read this text now, having given time and prayer to consider it, I believe this to be the Son of, this is a physical manifestation of Jehovah God speaking to Joshua. Why otherwise would this, quote, man command Joshua to take his shoes off because this ground is holy, just like it was told to Moses in Exodus chapter 3, verse 5? And what other man can wield the sword, almost like the sword of the Spirit, other than the Lord, a physical manifestation of the Lord God himself? And what it must have been like to see that. As I said several weeks ago, when you see Cupid or other angels with these white, feathery wings, soft skin, as if they were a child, I highly doubt this is the image that came down from above. The awe in that moment must have been breathtaking. To experience such a fear motivates somebody to great faith. And as I close tonight, I want us to be a people of faith. A people of faith in God, willing to follow God's command to take Canaan, or whatever God has promised to his people, with faith, we're moved and can move mountains. Grace is a word that's firmly fixed in my mind. God has graciously offered man gifts throughout history, but he also has given stipulations to those gifts of grace, that if not obeyed and followed, then those gifts of grace cannot be received. And so we need to be people of faith, understanding what grace is. But grace also requires obedience. And when God's people obey, as was read in James chapter 2, verse 14 to 26, 26 was read, thank you for that. Just because I receive a gift does not mean that I work to earn it or that it is my doing or power that receives it, but rather the grace of the gift freely given. Just like when someone gives me a gift, they wrap it up. Who thought about the gift? Not me. Who went out and purchased the gift? Not me. Who wrapped it up and handed me the gift? Not me. But whose gift is it? Mine. But until I unwrap the gift to claim it as my own, it's not truly mine. So faith without works is dead. I must, in obedience, receive what God has offered freely, but not be mistaken that it's my work that earned it. So church tonight, as we read in Joshua 5 and we view pieces and images of the Lord our God, I hope we are moved to fear Him. Not afraid that He can kill us, but moved that He would save us. And that we become people of faith, living in the grace of our God, receiving the gifts that He so freely gives. And if we can help you receive a gift, maybe it's salvation tonight. Have no fear. God has parted the waters and brought His people through time and time again. And lest He enter by water and spirit, He cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. So if you've not entered into a relationship with Jesus through water that we call baptism, you cannot call yourself a Christian. And friend, you're lost. But be saved, oh, tonight. If we can help you with that, we'd love to. Let's stand up and sing together.
Be now under
be seated.
Hey, I had a note I wanted to share with everybody. You know Tim and Belinda Holt. They're not here tonight. They're worshiping at the Woodlawn Church of Christ. It's because their granddaughter, Grace Ann, has decided to become a Christian tonight. Amen. After being at CYC this weekend, she said she wanted to obey God and become a Christian. And so they messaged me about that today, and I wanted to share that with everybody. I said, I hope I don't see you here tonight. Go rejoice and witness your granddaughter become a Christian. And so God is saving a soul, maybe right now. And the church says, amen to that.
not here this morning need to take communion, it's prepared right behind this wall in the auditorium. You can go ahead and be dismissed there at this time to take that. I hope you're able to listen to the song we put on the Facebook page, the church Facebook page, Salvation Belongs to Our God. I want to introduce that. But most importantly, I want to introduce that by showing us where that comes from. It is directly taken from this passage of Scripture in Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 through 12, that says, "After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb.' And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. And they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, 'Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and power and honor and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen.'" So that is exactly where this song is taken from. I want us to start at the chorus, Justin. That'll be the first "Be to Our God" slide. Should be the third slide, okay? We're going to go through the chorus. It's literally the same thing repeated three times, and then we'll look quickly at the verse and put it all together. Powerful song. The chorus goes like this. If you know it, sing along. Be to our God forever and ever. Be to our God forever and ever. Be to our God. Like some people know it. We've been doing some listening. Go back to the first of it. Let's just sing it. It sounds like several of us know us. Let's just sing it. The first verse, we sing the chorus that we just learned. Then we'll sing the second verse and the chorus. The chorus does repeat itself at the end. You'll see we'll all sing in unison, and then the parts branch off after that. That was awesome. That was wonderful.
Salvation belongs to our God, who sits upon the throne, and unto the Lamb be praise and glory, wisdom and thanks, honor and power and strength. Be to our God forever and ever. Be to our God forever and ever. Be to our God forever and ever. Amen. And we, the redeemed, shall be strong in purpose and in unity, declaring aloud praise and glory, wisdom and thanks, honor and power and strength. Be to our God forever and ever. Be to our God forever and ever. Be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Be to our God forever and ever. Be to our God forever and ever. Be to our God forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. That was awesome. I love that song. That is, it's a foretelling of as Revelation tells us, of what we will be singing around the throne. And man, y'all did awesome. Thank you for listening and preparing for that song. If there were any cards that have been filled out, any prayer requests or visitors, if you have any cards, you can go ahead and pass them to the aisles. Now, young men, go ahead and be picking those up if you need those. We do want to encourage everybody to be back with us for our midweek Bible study, Wednesday at 6:30. We look forward to seeing everyone gathered together then. Before we dismiss in prayer, let's all stand and sing a verse of number 991.
This is my Father's world, and to my listening ears, all nature sings and round me rings the music of the spheres. This is my Father's world, I rest in the flood of rocks and trees, of skies and seas.
Will you bow with me? Heavenly Father, holy and righteousness is your name. Lord, we just want to thank you and just take this moment to just be at awe with you. For you are a great God who loved us beyond all measures. Lord, as we go out through this week, may we show that love to each other and to the world around us. Help us and guide us through our struggles. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.